Good. And condolences to you and your family.
Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, it's certainly a difficult period in our lives, but I'm sure we'll get through it.
Well, Max has got a great history.
Well, he's certainly played a great part in the development of the whole Batavia Coast theme, you know, with his work in shipwrecks and then his ongoing exploration and discovery work that he was involved in.
We spoke to Bob Urquhart earlier, and he spoke about his love of the water and the fact that he always had plenty of good stories when you're out there diving on the umbrellas.
Yeah, it was always fun to be with diving, and he dived for 60 years, and he always had a saying that there are old divers and bold divers, but no old, bold divers. And he had his last dive at the start of the white cray fishing season in 2008, and we figured out that he'd been diving for 60 years, and not many people can say that.
He always seemed to have a project, Kim. Is that how you found him?
Well, he always had many projects, and what one of his tricks was that he was always able to involve everybody else in his projects, and so we were constantly involved with him in the things that he wanted to do, and he involved other members of the community. He had quite an infectious spirit of how he would get everyone involved in things, and really there's so many monuments and projects around Geraldton that have had his fingerprint on them, and of course the one that he was particularly proud of was the 50-cent merry-go-round, which the bureaucrats have decided we don't need anymore. So he was a bit disappointed in that particular one, but anyway, that's how it goes.
Kim, do you have the same passion for history?
I don't have the passion to the extent that Max did, and that hasn't been an issue between us, but I've always been dragged in to help in some way, and so have the other members of our family and our friends, because he was a guy with the passion, you know, and when you've got the passion, you can impart that into other people and get them on board and wound up. And he always was able to see where he wanted to go with that passion, and he always took the straightest path he could to get to it, you know. And you know, obviously Geraldton and the Midwest has a lot of evidence of his passion for history and for shipwrecks and for the development of Geraldton.
You touched on the merry-go-round by the sea, but the Batavia would go down as one of his highlights, you think?
Well, that was the big ticket item. You know, that was the first one back in 1963 that sort of put him and Geraldton and started the whole process on the map, if you like. But I think one of the ones he was really proud of was the French coin that was found on the end of Dirk Hartog Island, and the research he did for that, and working with Philippe Goddard, the French explorer, and putting a team together to go up and find that coin, and the manner in which it was found was one that he talks about, or talked about equally as much as the Batavia. He was very, very proud of that.
Well, it was a great investigation, wasn't it? A great investigative mind.
Well, it was the classic treasure map story, Glenn. You know, Max was doing the homework, and he got a little book with the help of the librarians in the Geraldton City Library, and in the little book was the treasure map. It had an X marked on the spot where they'd left the coins. Then Max read the dialogue from the ship's log, and the captain had said, well, we went ashore on Dirk Hartog Island. It wasn't Dirk Hartog at the time, of course. But we're at the island, at a bay within a bay, and we climbed up this cliff, and Max just looked at him and said, with a satellite photo, and said, well, there's a bay within a bay, so that must have been where they were. And 3 hours, and he'd found the coin, you know. So that's how easy it was.
An amazing story. And a busy man, to say the least.
He was. He was involved in a lot of things, and he had a lot of interests that people weren't directly aware of that were clouded, I guess, by his great exposure in history in the Batavia. I mean, he was a magician. He had a great interest in magic, and he did a lot of magic shows for kids. And at different times, he was a great Sunshine Festival tragic. You know, riding a penny farthing, and all the different characters he went as in Sunshine Festival parades. A whole lot of interest that people who knew him for the big things weren't aware of that he was involved in. And you know, as a father, he was a great father to us three boys, and our granddaughters, his granddaughters, were particularly proud of him.
I can imagine. In the end, time ran out?
I think in the end, you know, time really did run out. He was obviously suffering from lung cancer as a non-smoker for just coming up for 8 months. He'd been diagnosed, and he simply ran out of breath in hospital on Tuesday night, and the rest is history.
Could have that been work-related from his early days as a builder?
Well, we thought so, and that there may have been, you know, because he was from that era where people cut blew asbestos sheets with power saws and, you know, just held their breath. And every piece of evidence that we've had from the medical people is that that bore no part in the situation. His lung cancer was not a result of asbestos-related disease, but it could have been related to any other number of chemicals that he was exposed to, but certainly nothing was outlined to us that would indicate it was just other than bad luck.
And he'd be pleased to know that he didn't waste too much time in his life, did he?
No, and that's the thing that we take a lot of comfort from, is that at 76 years old, you know, people say, oh, he died relatively young, but he died having done every single thing he ever wanted to do, and pretty much most of it on his own terms. And not many people can make that claim, Glenn.
They certainly can't. Well, Kim, thank you for taking the time out. We appreciate at this awkward time.
Thanks. No trouble, Glenn. No, we're very, very proud of him.